Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels on a Wednesday, right after practice number 15 has wrapped up there at Ray Nitschke Field. Training camp winding down as far as public practices go. A programming note from the Packers: next week's practice on the 20th is changed. Its starting time was at 10:30, is now at 2:30. So please mark your calendars if you're planning to attend. Practice 15, like I said, in the books there at Ray Nitschke Field. Fully padded practice, their last practice prior to their sojourn to Denver to practice with the Broncos on Friday. Carrington Valentine was back in the mix today, only on a limited individual basis, but great to see him back out on the practice field participating. I made a short about this earlier today, but I'll be very surprised if he's in the mix at all for this joint practice or even for the game on Sunday night. He has missed a lot of time, and we, you know coming into camp, you read the headlines and what the coaches were saying about him this offseason. I mean, they were singing his praises, and it sure felt like there was going to be a legit competition between him and Stokes heading into camp, but obviously, that hasn't materialized due to Valentine missing so much time. I doubt he's going to be out there this weekend. That gives him precious little time to make an impression and try and make that a battle. I suspect Stokes has probably cemented that. But hey, they're always going to want to foster competition. Valentine getting back into the mix with team stuff, hopefully next week. Be interesting to see what he does and see if he can make a claim, at least, for that gig. And then speaking of guys getting back on the practice field a day after not doing team stuff, Quay Walker was back in the mix today. That's good to see, especially since, I mean, you look at the list of guys who are still out, and it's a short list, especially for this point of camp, but it's Marshawn Lloyd with a hamstring, Javon Howard with an ankle, Keyshawn Banks with a groin, and then Edrin Cooper still out with that hip injury. And that's why I'm talking about Quay being back out there being a good thing, because, my goodness, you know, going into camp and this season after the Cooper selection, really excited to see how they might utilize the rookie, his undeniable athleticism. There's so much upside there, but he has missed a boatload of time with that hip injury. And you got to think the longer this goes on, the less and less likely it is that he's able to make at least some kind of difference early on in the season. And I'm not writing off his rookie year yet. Obviously, long way to go there, but man, it's just tough to see with so much kind of excitement around a new defense, getting this new veritable chess piece possibility, and he just has not been able to get back out on the field, and that's got to be frustrating. On the quarterback front, Jordan Love will not play in Denver. Sean Clifford will get the start, and probably due to that, we saw a lot of Clifford and Pratt taking turns with the twos today. Jordan Love obviously is still practicing, but Clifford and Pratt both got opportunities with the second team today in various team stuff. Well, I'm going to be fascinated to see how much Pratt gets to play and what he's asked to do, if he's allowed to operate the offense fully, try and get, you know, move things downfield, utilize his arm. He's not afraid to chuck it down the field. We have seen that in practice. We saw that in the game. I'd like to see him get more opportunities. But that's going to continue to be a battle, most likely through the preseason. And then, you know, I did want to kind of touch on the wide receiver group and Bo Melton in particular. As the title of the video suggests, a lot of ball game left. I've seen some, I'm not going to say harsh, but I've seen some kind of dismissal of Melton because of, you know, admittedly a disappointing outing there in Cleveland against the Browns in the preseason game. But he's had a good camp. And what's kind of obvious if you're there every day watching practice is they have a, you know, plans for him as far as being in the rotation with the first offense. He is always working with the ones. He is always kind of rotating in with that main group. That's not going to suddenly disappear because he had a bad day at the office, right? I understand we're all very excited about Grant Dubose. I include myself in that mix. Dubose has had a very strong camp and certainly showed out in the preseason game. But that doesn't erase all the work that Bo Melton has done over the last year and a half in Green Bay. There is a long way to go, especially in the kind of training camp mode, right? I mean, look no further than, you know, what we were all thinking a week ago at this point before they went to the preseason game about, you know, various battles and maybe the running back position, maybe the defensive line and how it was rotating. And then you go a week, not even 5 days, and things can seem very different. And that can even kind of get in condensed into like a day or two where somebody has a strong practice, makes a number of really big plays, and all of a sudden everyone's talking about that guy, completely forgetting about the two or three good things like his competitor did the day before. So I understand that we're kind of beholden to a 24-hour news cycle, sometimes even less, especially in the social media age. I just don't want anyone writing Bo Melton off. He's too talented. He's done too much good work. And I suspect he's going to bounce back, which it sounds like he did today. Sure sounds like he was maybe not putting on a show, but certainly reminding people of his talent because it is there and plentiful. And then I'm kind of, I guess, obligated to talk about the kicking competition because God knows it continues. It's not pretty. I mean, you know, Alex Hale was brutal the other day, a couple days ago, and now we've got Joseph and Carlson out there. With Joseph, he was either 3 of 6 or 3 of 7, depending on which beat writer you're following, but not a great day. He did certainly miss 3 kicks, left from 55, right from 49, and left from 45, all misses. Carlson went 4 of 6. His misses were right from 55 and right from 41. I mean, does anybody want to win this thing? And I understand, look, it's the totality of the work. They're going to give them all of camp. They're going to give them all preseason. But at some point, as things go along here, it becomes somewhat apparent that, you know, they got a bunch of average kickers in camp. Is anyone going to grab this thing? Are they going to go, I would suspect, and scour the waiver wire, look at other teams, make trades, possibly pick someone up off the street? I think all avenues are open. There is every possibility that the Packers kicker is not on their roster currently. Now, that said, in keeping with the theme, there is a lot of ballgame left. We will see what transpires here in the joint practice in Denver, in the preseason game, and then next week there's a practice, and then there's the joint practice with the Ravens, and then the Ravens preseason game. But after that, what is that? 4 more opportunities, I guess, where these guys have, you know, somewhat of a chance to make their case. But right now, sitting here today on a Wednesday afternoon, doesn't feel great. Doesn't feel great, especially after, you know, having a big missed kick at the end of last season contribute to a playoff loss that, you know, was a game that you were winning for much of it, had control of that game for a lot of the contest, and now you're down here getting to the end of camp, and you still haven't really figured that position out. It's disconcerting, to say the least. Hello to everybody in the comment section. So good to see everybody. Before I give you guys the floor, you guys know I got to give my friends at Ticket King a shout out. That's right. Based in Wisconsin since the early 90s, Ticket King is located across the street from Lambeau Field on Oneida. They're happy to help you find just the right tickets for Packers games, from larger groups to single tickets, both home and away. They partner with local Green Bay businesses for tailgating and bus transportation to the games, so you don't have to worry about driving or parking. They're even open on game day for last-minute tickets or possible upgrades. Hell, they even have a drive-through window. And if you're not in Green Bay, no problem. Just use the Ticket King link on the Cheesehead TV homepage, in our app, or indeed, in the description of this video. Don't use Ticketmaster, StubHub, SeatGeek, none of this national nonsense. Use a company based in Wisconsin since the early 90s. Ticket King, for all your Packers ticket needs. Do it, people. How we doing? So many people lining up. Hello, Andrew's here. Hello, Andrew. How are you, man? Chad is here. How are you doing, Chad? Dawson, good to see you get here bright and early. Roberto, starting us off with a super chat. Thanks, buddy. Ryan training at center to replace Myers? More like Ryan training at center to save his gig. I mean, no, he's not going to replace Myers anytime soon. Myers is your starting center. I really hope Packers fans come to grips with that before the start of the season. Myers has run with the ones, continues to run with the ones, will continue to run with the ones throughout the entirety of the season, outside of maybe perhaps an injury. But other than that, he's not getting supplanted in 2024. He is their starting center. Yet we've seen Elton Jenkins take snaps with the ones in preparation for if something were to occur, etc. We've certainly seen Sean Ryan getting snaps with the twos at center to be the backup center on the roster. That's, you know, in addition to playing right guard with the ones while Jordan Morgan recovers from his shoulder injury in the possible continuation of that roster battle. So that is more about making sure that Ryan can do as much as possible and getting as much out of him as a player that they possibly can. But it is certainly not looking down the road and saying, oh, you know, either A, he's going to replace him this season or even next year. That's not what that's about. That's about if there was an injury to Myers, either, okay, we can go to Ryan as the backup center, or, you know, potentially maybe we move Elgton Jenkins to center and then Ryan plays left guard, etc. I know everyone's anxious to rid themselves of Josh Myers. And the more that sentiment percolates around the internet, and Roberto, this isn't really directed at you, it's just one drop in a sea of stuff I've seen about Myers, the more I'm rooting for the kid. Because, you know, all he does is go out there and answer the bell week in and week out and play at a really high level, somewhat inconsistently at times. And that's what kills you, right? That's what, as a fan, you get frustrated about, mostly because that inconsistency gets highlighted. That's the stuff that gets clipped and put on social media and fans get all foaming at the mouth about it. And it's like, what about the, you know, 54 other plays in that game where he played at a really high level? I mean, look no further than down the stretch last year. You know, it wasn't, you know, Hall of Fame play, but he played at a good, high, consistent level, which allowed them to operate really, really well on offense. That doesn't just happen, you know? So I don't know. I admittedly get a little touchy about this. I get a little touchy about Josh Myers because I do think he is somewhat underappreciated. And I understand, again, I get there's history there, the draft, the Creed Humphrey thing that probably sticks in Packers fans' minds and probably will for the entirety of his career, whether it's here in Green Bay past this season as he enters the final year of his rookie deal, or if it's someplace else in the NFL, it will always be kind of that comparison, right? I get it. I understand it. But I would hope, to quote Norman Dale, I would hope you would root for who we are, not who we are not. That's just me. That's just how I roll. Aaron Harper, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Bears still suck and Vikings swallow. You know, normally I'd just laugh at that and continue on, but I did want to take the moment to say, and this is, I know you're not referencing this, Aaron, but really tough moment for the Vikings today with their rookie quarterback having undergone surgery for his meniscus. He's out for the year. That just sucks, man. Like, putting aside the rivalry, and again, I know Aaron Harper is not talking about this, but thinking about Vikings fans today and all that hope you have entering the NFL season, you've got this quarterback that you've selected high in the draft. He played, by all accounts, and from the bit I saw in the preseason last week, played really well. And as a fan, you're like, oh, this is great. We're finally on a path to building something new. And then he goes down, and then he's got he didn't even go down. I guess he reported knee soreness to the medical staff, and then they went in and found the meniscus problem. So he had surgery, and now he's out for the season. And as a fan, that's just such a gut punch. But I will say, who knows, man? Maybe this is a good thing for the Vikings, God forbid, as a Packers fan. But maybe he ends up sitting for the year, and there's no possibility of turning to him if, and let's face it, when Darnold falters and, you know, he's forced to kind of sit on the sideline and learn. That might be a good thing for him and the Vikings, as much as that sucks for Packers fans. Portmaster, how are you, man? I haven't seen you in a while. How are you? Thanks for the super chat. Good Lord, I hate kickers. Somewhere Mason Crosby is sitting there going, you know what? Y'all never really appreciated me. You never did. Like, everybody talking about his quote-unquote weak leg at the end of his career, like, which, by the way, would be perfect now. You want to hit the landing zone? Mason Crosby's going to hit the landing zone every single fucking time in this new kickoff rule. I mean, has Mason Crosby filed the papers yet? I'm just asking.
Let's see.
I don't know. Nighthawk, how are you? Thanks for the super chat. Has Musgrave really struggled that much, or is it more of the wideouts dominating? Hmm. Who? I'm not really familiar with the context here as far as Musgrave struggling. I think Musgrave has certainly not been featured as much. They certainly haven't seemingly run as much for him that I've seen anyway for the kind of 15-day stretch I was there. That doesn't mean he's struggled. I think there's certainly been a few plays where he had a bad drop in the end zone last week in a kind of a red zone period. He's certainly been not featured as much as he was his rookie year in that camp. But ultimately, I wouldn't label that struggling for Musgrave. I think, you know, second year player, you know, he's back at camp and they're working on stuff. Now, yes, we've heard a lot about the wideouts because they've been lights out, been a lot of fun, big highlights pretty much each and every day. And when you know, look, we got Tucker Kraft back on the field with the team last couple practices today. He got a couple catches, etc. So they're going to start working in probably more tight end stuff. But yeah, I wouldn't put it down as struggling. I would say he certainly hasn't been featured as much. But that could all change very, very quickly, depending on game planning, right? And who the defense is, what the defense is playing, what opens up, etc. So yeah, again, without context of what you're talking about, that's the best I can kind of answer that. Joe, thanks for the super chat. Was at practice today. Saw Dillard, Stone, Gary in one-on-ones. Tanuda getting reps at right guard with the twos. Is that new? Ryan getting all right guard reps with the ones. Yeah, the last part is that's going to be that way until Morgan's back, no doubt. Tanuda getting reps at right guard with the twos. I have not seemingly either seen or heard it reported that he had been working at guard in my time there. So that is somewhat new, I would suspect. I mean, it's interesting because he hasn't really gotten a ton of run at tackle, even with the twos or threes. I mean, it's mostly been with the threes that I've seen. So Dillard, Stone, and Gary in the one-on-ones, you know, that the one-on-one thing is so kind of fun because it is somewhat of a, it can be at times the eye of the beholder kind of moment when you're, because I remember every kind of practice when they have the one-on-ones, especially with the pass rush stuff, the big guys always sitting with the beat, and we're all like, who do you have that? Do you have, like, there was Josh Myers, TJ Slayton rep, where it's like, I've had Slayton. No, I had Myers, like, blah, blah, blah. So some of it is subjective, right? But to your point, you see him stone a guy, just lock him up one-on-one. Hey, that's good. That's a good rep. Now, it's not real football. You know, you're playing on the line. There is a play call. There is a design to what you're being asked to do in the, you know, design of the play and the protection itself. Is there, okay, so you've locked him up, but now is there a looper coming around? And are you able to react to that and get off that block? That's actual line play, right? So it's good. I'm not trying to take it away from Dillard. That's awesome rep, but you know, it is just that. It's just one rep. Simatovich, what's up, man? Thanks for the super chat. Messi, CR7, Palmer, or Haaland available to kick? You know, always count on Simatovich to come up in here with my soccer love. Come on. You know I'm going to pick Palmer. You know I'm going to pick Palmer. That's my guy. Matthew Clark, thanks for the super chat. Nags, I think we take 7 wide receivers following from my question yesterday. Christian Watson, Reed, Wicks. Oh, Romeo Dobbs, Wicks, Reed are locks. Heath, Melton, and Grant DuBose make it with Torrey missing out. I'll be very, 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 very surprised if they keep 7 wide receivers on the 53. That's all I'm going to say about that. Raha, what's up? Does the fact that Bakhtiari hasn't signed anywhere yet suggest that his knee still isn't where it needs to be? That injury is such a bummer. I'm glad you brought this up because I was talking about this with somebody in Green Bay last week when I was still there. And yeah, you sitting on the outside looking in, how can it suggest anything but right now? Is there a chance that he's being a wily, aged vet and just waiting for an injury to occur in camp somewhere to a left tackle, a premium left tackle that goes down, and then he swoops in and signs and doesn't have to go through camp and just comes in and has a week or two of practice and hits the ground running as their starting left tackle. Is that a possibility? Absolutely. I hope that's the case. Not wishing injury on anyone, but I hope that's his kind of stance, plan, whatever right now. But my suspicion is what you're talking about, that he's not able to pass a physical yet. That's my guess, and it's just guesswork. I know I've talked to David a lot throughout his career. He's done really nice stuff for us here at Cheesehead TV. I have not spoken to him about it. I haven't talked to him at all about this. But yeah, that's my suspicion, is that he can't pass a physical. And that's why he's not on the roster. Just guesswork, but it absolutely fucking sucks, man. It really sucks. Ed, thanks for the super chat. Bring in Mason Crosby as a temp kicking coach? Wave a magic wand? I think the second one's more likely than the first one. Let's put it that way. Roberto, thanks again. Exciting to have four young safeties for 3 to 4 years. It really is, right? I mean, here's the thing, though. I don't want to be the downer, but I got to keep it real. Man, the NFL stands for not for long. You never know how these things are going to play out, how the trajectory of a player's career or even his first few years is going to be. We're all very excited about most of these guys right now, right? Man, things can change quick. I remember being very excited about Josh Jones, his rookie camp. I don't think any of these guys are Josh Jones. I'm just saying, things change. Guys either keep developing or they regress, or some warts in their game are exposed in actual, you know, the real actual football that kids played. I am very excited. I share your enthusiasm, but it can change quick. That's all I'm saying. Rick, what's up, man? This is a good question. What tight end isn't on the 53? Baby, that's right now, your guess probably is Sims, right? I think that would be my guess right now. I think with Wilson showing, Wilson's had a good camp. There's a good chance that that's the route they go. However, it also wouldn't surprise me if they keep four, maybe even five. I mean, Gutekunst's, you know, mentor slash, you know, predecessor, he kept five once. Never know. Never really know. But yeah, Wilson's had a really good camp and then backed that up with a really strong performance in Cleveland. Man, that's going to be interesting to watch kind of play out here over these next four or five practices and or preseason games. Overpowered by Monk. If you want to talk to me after the show, I'll be fucking surprised. Mitch Hedberg. Herbert. It's Hedberg, isn't it? Anyway, not quite sure what that's in reference to, but I appreciate the support. That's good stuff. Oh, somebody in here asked, or I guess maybe hoping for Robbie Gould. I don't think that's going to happen. Matt Ramage for Packers kicker. Now we're talking. Larry, Stenerud was 100 years old. Why not Crosby? Because, you know, look, people, I'm all for Mason Crosby. I love the man. Brilliant kicker, 16 years. But it's time to move on, man. The guy, did you miss the Giants season end last year? The kick there at the end that could have helped the Packers? Anyway, Tito, what's going on, man? Herb Bears starting quarterback, insert name here, looks really good in practice, copy-paste from 2014. I mean, Caleb Williams is a little different. I mean, you know, he's not the first overall pick by happenstance. He's pretty damn talented. But, yeah, I hear you. What else we got here? Oh, we got Callum. How are you, man? Who are our best five offensive linemen to date? To date? It's a good question. It's hard to quantify while guys are, you know, dealing with injuries such as Jordan Morgan. But right now, the starting five, and it has been this way, I guess, now for the last four or five practices since Morgan got hurt. You got Rashid Walker at left tackle, Elton Jenkins at left guard, Josh Myers at center, Sean Ryan is your right guard, and then Zach Tom is your right tackle. That has been nominally the starting five. And I suspect that's probably going to be the guy, the group that starts down in Brazil week one. There's a chance Jordan Morgan gets back. I know he was out doing individual drills today. there's a chance he gets in there and they feel confident and comfortable kind of reinserting him with the first group. But we'll see. We'll see what transpires in Denver. These next two kind of practice slash games, I think, are really super important. Rick Harris, what's up, man? Nags, what movie did you see last night? My girls and I went to see Deadpool and Wolverine. They had wanted to see it, but I was away in Green Bay. So when I got back, I promised I would go with them, and I went. And I will say, while it was one of the most disposable movies I've ever seen, I did have a ton of fun. And what I took away from that film is how lucky we are to be on this earth while Hugh Jackman is a movie star. Because my God, is he amazing. I mean, this movie, it's the Ryan Reynolds thing. It's all the one-liners, all the cameos and the Marvel stuff and the action and all the fights and all of that is going on, right? And that's fine. I know that's why people are there. It's good entertainment, good harmless fun. Eat your popcorn, drink your Pepsi, all is well. But then the whole proceedings, and this happened like three times in this film, the whole thing just shudders to a halt. And Hugh Jackman has like a 1 or 2 minute monologue that is just fucking incredible. Incredible. In the middle of this Marvel like fireworks fiesta, there is this sudden inner torment monologue, Hugh Jackman just putting on a fucking clinic on how to be an actor. Like, I just, that to me, that was the whole reason I enjoyed the film. He was like the center of the movie for that reason. It was so good. That was so good. The rest of it, meh, whatever. I know you kids are having fun. All right, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Don't forget, Patreon members, Carry the G Club members, happy hour, the top of the hour. Information is on your respective pages. There's no Corey tonight, so I need you to bring all the energy, all the questions. I need lots of help because I won't have Corey like being upset about Madison, Wisconsin for whatever reason. So I hope to see you guys there. I'll talk to you then. The rest of you, I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks so much. Go Pack, go.